Let's take our Bibles and we will turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 119. We've arrived in our series on verse 25. Corresponding with the Hebrew letter Daleth, corresponding with what we might consider our letter D, even though there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. As we look at verses 25 through 32, if we were looking at it in the Hebrew, all of the verses would begin with the letter Daleth. Now, Psalm 119, verse 25. I've entitled this portion of Psalm 119, Biting the Dust. Some of you may have very well felt like you've bitten the dust this week. You may feel so low you have to reach up to touch bottom. You're discouraged. You know, this portion of the Word of God emphasizes the need for revival. There's need for revival in the sense of our walk with God. There's also a need for revival with reference to our spiritual encouragement. And one of the benefits of the Wednesday night service is that it gives us an oasis whereby we can get into the Word of God, find brethren of like precious faith that we can gather together, share requests, pray for one another, encourage one another, huddle together as a basketball team would with the coach, and find encouragement and direction in the body of Christ. And this portion of the Word of God emphasizes the need for revival. Revival spiritually and revival and encouragement as well. You'll notice in verse 25 the usage of the word quicken. That speaks of a need for life and a need for revival. And you know, true revival doesn't come from attending a meeting or going to a certain geographic location, some type of a spiritual mecca, or being caught up in the enthusiasm of a crowd. Revival comes from the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, revealing those areas in our lives that need to be brought into conformity of the Word of God. What's important is that we come to the Word of God with a teachable spirit. Lord, I'm going to be under the sound of the Word of God today. Speak to my heart. My heart is open for those things that the Spirit of God would place its surgical searchlight upon my life. And I'm willing to amend my life in favor of the instruction of your Word and the Holy Spirit. Then revival will take place. As F.B. Meyer said, get a big piece of chalk, draw a circle, get inside of it, and then say, Lord, start the revival inside this circle. It begins with us individually. And we all need revival. There's an old story about a fella who saw a merry-go-round. Nowadays, some of the malls even have what we call today in our modern day carousels. The West Oaks Mall in Ocoee, right by the food court, has a carousel that you can ride in. I believe some of the other malls may have something like that. But there's the old story when they had the old-fashioned merry-go-rounds. There was a man, he was a farmer, he was out from the sticks out in the country, and he was fascinated with the merry-go-round. And he decided that he absolutely had to have a ride on that contraption. Well, his more mature wife reasoned with him, saying that it would be a waste of needed money from the budget that they had such tight, tight purse strings for. But you know, nothing would change this farmer's mind. He just had to have a ride in the carousel. So the next time the carousel stopped, the man started in charge, started taking money, and the man paid the fare and mounted on one of the mechanical horses. And the music started, and here's this big, mature farmer in his bib overalls going round and round and round and round, enjoying himself on the carousel. But all too soon, as we all know it is, it stopped, and as the man dismounted, his wife was there to greet him with these words. Well, I hope you're satisfied. You've spent your money and you got off right where you got on. You just ain't been nowhere. And you know, the truth of the matter is, sometimes we can feel that way in the Christian life. We pay the fare, go through the anguish of life at great expense. We think that our activity is getting us somewhere, and we're doing it all in the energy of the flesh. And we go round and round and round and round and round. Lots of lights, a lot of glitter, a lot of music, money, activity. Some churches are that way. But you know, when it really comes to the working of the Spirit of God, we ain't been nowhere. Is that true of our lives spiritually? Well, perhaps this psalm will be able to give us some instruction. When you feel like you've bitten the dust and you're discouraged and you need revival in your heart, we're going to look at this psalm in several ways. We're going to look at it in a fourfold way. Four things regarding revival in our hearts. First of all, in verse 25, we're going to see the reasons why revival is needed in our lives. Number one, the reasons. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. I'll tell you what, the first reason why we need spiritual revival is because of spiritual barrenness. You know, the word cleaves here is the Hebrew word dabak that is used in Genesis 2:24, referring to a husband and wife cleaving to one another and becoming one flesh. Well, here is a person that's so low, he's one flesh with the dust. He's down so low that he's intermingled with it. You ever feel that way? You ever feel that way spiritually? You ever feel that way through circumstances and difficulties that may have come your way? Well, you know, you're in need of revival. And that's the reason why revival is needed. It says, my soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken me. In other words, revive me, Lord. Infuse me with your strength and your life. Any jogger, and most of you perhaps have, I'm not saying now you all are has-beens now. Some of you still run. Some of you are weekend warriors. And some of you are has-beens, maybe. I don't know. But all of you know, by first-hand experience or by hearsay, either one, about second wind. You know what I'm talking about. There's that second infusion of strength that comes when you break through that barrier. And you know where it's at. I remember when I used to do a lot of running. First of all, there were two barriers I had to break. The first barrier was even getting started. The first quarter mile, my body would say, are you sure you want to be doing this? Oh, come on. Oh, no, don't do this. What are you doing to me? Wouldn't you rather be on the sofa watching the news? Do you realize how early it is? Oh, oh, my knee. Oh, my back. And are you sure you're doing the right? That's that first barrier. Then, once you start warming up, which was generally around the third quarter mile, you start really feeling in tune. And you start getting a little bit winded as time goes on. But then all of a sudden, you feel an infusion of energy in your body that starts just going. And you say, man, this is really great. And, you know, the Lord does that to us spiritually. When we feel we can't go on, go to the Word of God. It says here in verse 25, quicken thou me according to thy word. Where is the source of our adrenaline? Where is the source of our strength? It's found in the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you know, one of the reasons why Christians faint is that they fail to be in a steady diet with the Word of God. Now, I know that we're living in a day where carbohydrates are not popular, but you know what? If you're running a lot, you need carbs. As long as you burn them, you're okay. But you know, that's a storehouse of energy for you, properly used. Well, the Word of God, if I wouldn't be guilty of sacrilege, is a storehouse of energy for us. And we need to grow and learn and read regularly the Word of God. So the reason why revival is needed, because oftentimes we fall into spiritual barrenness. We can fall into the routinism of going through the motions. And it can be that way in a marriage. It can be that way in service for God. It could be that way in your job. It could be that way in your relationship with your children. It can be that way in your schoolwork. You know, whether you're homeschooling or in a Christian school, you're going through the motions, cranking out the tests, cranking out the Bible verses, just doing enough to get by, just so that you can keep, you know, mom or the teacher or whoever, dad, whoever your teacher is, you know, off of your back to just do enough to keep the wolf off the front door. And, you know, we need revival. Quicken thou me, verse 25. Now, that's the reason. Now, in verses 26 through 29, we're going to look at the requests. The requests which the need for revival will bring forth. In order to have revival, notice some of the requests. Number one, the need for understanding. All we need to have that understanding. Verses 26 and 27 speak about a need for understanding. It says, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand. You see, there's the need for understanding. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. You know, when we're going through trials and testings, it's important that we not only get into the Word of God, but we seek understanding from the Lord. And then also, start ministering to other people. One of the best ways to keep from getting spiritual indigestion, I knew an evangelist that used to call it something a lot harsher. He used to call it spiritual constipation. But spiritual indigestion will do fine for the hour. One of the reasons why individuals get spiritual indigestion is that they're taking in and they never give out. And they get the old hiatal hernia filling, and they get the acid reflux and the indigestion. Why? Because they're not giving out that which they're taking in. But here the psalmist said, Lord, you know, I've declared, and you know what? He says, I'll talk of thy wondrous works. Lord, give me an understanding. And I want to have that in my heart. I want to have that understanding there. Then, verse 28, there's a need for strength. The requests which the need for revival will bring forth are not only a need for understanding, but a need for strength. Verse 28 says this, my soul melteth for heaviness. You know, the word melt is the Hebrew word dalaf, which means to drop. You have a picture just of dropping because of weakness. When you just can't go one step more. Have you ever been to a marathon? You know, be it for, you know, the New York City, the Boston Marathon, or perhaps it's a marathon for a special benefit that's being held, muscular sclerosis or muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis or something of that nature. And you see some of these people that come in first and they just come in and they drop into people's arms. They just can't go any further. Sometimes they don't make it to the end. Sometimes they drop right in the middle of the race, and they just keep on crawling, perhaps, or others come to their assistance. So that's the word melt. It means literally to drop for heaviness. And the psalmist said, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Do you see how the word is used over and over again? And, you know, if we want revival, we're going to request understanding. We're going to request strength verse 28. And you know, we're going to need grace, verse 29. Remove from me, the psalmist said, the way of lying. You know, sometimes we can lie to ourselves. That's where lying oftentimes starts. The living a life of denial, where we just kind of go our merry way and we can hear the word and we can read the word, and it's like a mirror, but like James says, we forget what manner of man we are, and we're lying to ourselves. And people can share things with us that need to be corrected, whether it's a husband or a wife, and we just go our merry way like, hey, I didn't hear what I just heard. It's their problem. Oh, it's my boss's problem. Oh, it's my wife's problem. It's my husband's problem. It's my teacher's problem. Living in denial. And we can literally be in the way of lying. Oftentimes, lying can be lying about our neighbor because of envy, because of jealousy. We want to bring others down. We want to spice up the truth, perhaps. The Word of God says, remove from me the way of lying. Today we have a nice euphemism. We say, well, I don't lie, I just prevaricate. You ever hear somebody say that? You know what prevarication is? It's a euphemism for lying. But we like the word prevaricate, you know, because it sounds better. It kind of doesn't really have the bite. But the Word of God says we're to put away lying in the book of Ephesians. And we need grace. Grant me thy law graciously. So you see, the reason for revival, verse 25, spiritual barrenness. The requests that result in the need for revival is understanding, strength, and grace. Now look at the response which a revived heart will give. There's a response in verses 30 to verse 32. First of all, when revival takes place, the first response is going to be a decision. It's going to be a commitment, a decision that's going to take place. He says here, I have chosen. You know, nobody can make that choice for you. Mom and dad can't make it. Your wife can't make it. Your husband can't make it. Your pastor, your Sunday school teacher can't make it. It has to be a choice that we make individually. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Decision. There's going to be a decision to, I'm going to step aside and turn my back on the sins that have beset me and make a decision to choose the way of truth. And the Word of God says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that's the pathway of God's word. Thy judgments have I laid before me. We need to lay the Word of God out before us faithfully. Not only decision, but there needs to be loyalty. Verse 31, I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. You know, that's a loyalty to committing to be in the Word of God. Look at the obedience aspect in verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments. Have you made that decision to follow the ways of God's Word? You know, as a result of that, the Word of God says there's going to be, number four, the fourth thing involved, not just the reasons for revival, the requests, and the response, but look at the results that revival will bring in verse 32b. It says here, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. You know, that word, enlarged heart, you've heard of an enlarged heart. A lot of times a person that has high blood pressure and they have arteriosclerosis and their arteries are clogged and the heart is pushing and working harder and harder and harder. And the heart, which is a muscle, can oftentimes enlarge. Sometimes athletes can have an enlarged heart. But this type of enlargement of heart is different. The same word enlarge, which is the word rahav, is used in 1 Kings chapter 4. Turn to 1 Kings. You remember the prayer of Solomon when he was to be king? 1 Kings chapter 4. Turn there, if you will. One of the things that the Lord blessed Solomon with. 1 Kings chapter 4. Verse 29, God, when he asked for wisdom and did not seek self-gain, notice what it says in verse 29 of 1 Kings 4, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and here's the same word, rahav, largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. That's an increase of spiritual perception. A largeness of heart. A heart that grows in relationship with the Lord. A heart that increases in intensity and passion to follow the things of God. We need that in our hearts. When we get comfortable, it's so easy to get comfortable in the schedule. We all have a routine. We all have a schedule. And you can even get routine and humdrum in your devotion time. And it's important to be in the Word of God, but yet seek to apply and to share and to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. When we begin to share with others that which God has given unto us, I think you'll find that it'll give a new life and a new meaning, and a new purpose. How often I found that when I'm studying a passage in the Word of God, lo and behold, that very day, somebody comes up to me with a question right from that passage. Anybody ever have that experience? You're studying a passage, somebody comes up to you and says, Pastor John, where is this found? And boy, you were just there this morning. Or else, at school, you're at work or whatever, somebody has a problem, and that's why you gave me that blessing this morning, Lord. Or maybe Brother Dick is ministering to someone in the hospice ministry, and exactly that verse that he studied in the morning, boy, that's just what I need to give that patient as he's facing a difficult time. Many times, the Lord does that. He prepares not only the receiver, but the giver. He prepares us and gives us that message. But when we're not in the Word, oh, how much we miss out on. And by the way, when we're not in the Word, we'll snap at our marriage partners. We'll get angry. We'll be impatient. Yeah. Sometimes our actions reveal that we're not in the Word as we should. We'll get discouraged easily. We'll get the Elijah complex. I'm the only one, you know. And we'll develop a weak spirit. All we need, revival. Don't allow yourself to bite the dust. Reach for the heavens. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's keep on growing. It's either biting the dust or having an enlarged heart, a heart that is abounding in the work of the Lord. So let's pray that that'll be our case. Let's be in the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word and for the experience of the psalmist. Lord, we don't want to be like that carousel rider. A lot of movement, a lot of lights, sirens, whistles, even expense, but not much progress for the Lord. Lord, we don't want to be that kind of church either. But Lord, we want to make our days count. As the psalmist said, teach us to number our days and to give attention unto righteousness and the priorities, Lord, that you have for us. Help us to be a blessing to someone today. Bless as we go to prayer and minister to one another's needs and remember these needs before us. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.